The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch for a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Ladies and gentlemen, to honor the life of WWE Hall of Famer Bruno Sammartino, would you please rise as we toll the bell 10 times?
Gentlemen, you've been clamoring for it for a long time, and we are back, the two-man group.
Yahtzee!
Representing the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
And sitting across the couch from me, the star of the Dumbfellas podcast.
I can't even do that, because it's not even fair.
Why?
It's the other guys.
No, dude, it's all you.
No, it's not. It's KP Burke and Natty Bumpercar, Rich McDonald, and Joe Carney, and then there's me.
It's all Kevin.
No, it's not. This was not my creation at all.
It doesn't matter if it's not your creation. You're still the star of the show.
Well, no, listen, they're part of the network now. They deserve to be stars. KP and Natty are the stars. Joe Carney, Rich,
they're not so much.
They're there, and then there's me. But KP and Natty are the ones that are the most gung ho about it.
No, this is all you, dude.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, guys, dude, just be.
I am the star now of two podcasts.
Oh, which is the other one?
That's right. That's right. We're still trying to figure that out.
Holy shit!
The Dumbfellas podcast, a group of five comedians, totally space cadet esque, and having a good time talking about stuff and comedy and other things. So we got episodes drop every Thursday.
Oh, okay, I was wondering when
I was
going
to talk to you about that off the air, but
no,
might
you don't
as
have
well
to bring it up. It's just that we debuted the episode Monday, right?
No, we recorded Monday, and did we release it Monday?
I don't. No, maybe it was... I don't remember.
I don't remember. Fuck if I know.
Well, ShinyWizardsNetwork.com, that's the home. GardenStateComedy.com is also where you can find it.
Go check out Garden State Comedy. They produce amazing comedy shows. That's obviously a Rich McDonald vehicle and a Natty Bumper Car vehicle, as I quote Peter Rosenberg every single fucking time.
Natty Bumper Car. How did he come up with that?
He's a character. That's his name, buddy. That's a shoot name.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Bumper car. Did he come? I would ask if he came from a family of carnies, but then that means he'd be related to Joe, right?
Joe Carney. That's right. That's a good point.
Fuck. Give me my bell. I forgot. I had it.
Why is the bell up here? Because I know it. You're done.
All right. Then you got the
Now that
tonight.
I know that it's here, it's mine.
Because I had it up there because the last time I was on the show was the birthday spectacular.
Ah, that's right.
Which was out of this fucking world. Thank you again for that.
Ooh.
Unfucking
believable. That was a doozy.
Yeah. If you guys haven't heard that, go back in the archives. And EC Negro was on with you guys last week. I finally finished that sucker up yesterday.
That was awesome a fun show, man.
It was a lot of fun. Did you guys ever figure out who the human tornado caller was, or was that still a mystery?
I'm sure we did, but I don't remember.
You guys were fucking laying into the shots.
I think it was actually... Oh, God. Dude, Patron?
Yes.
Totally different drunk
well, of
than
course.
Irish whiskey.
Fucking EC Negro, man. That's
totally different... But Matt just happened to have a bottle of Patron. I don't know how or where he got it.
He probably asked EC if what he likes to drink.
No, I was in that chat, and he said water or Patron, but Matt didn't go out and get it. Matt already had it.
Wait. So his choices were water or Patron?
That's right.
There was no in the middle?
Pretty sure that's what happened.
There was no like Red Bull, Coca-Cola,
nope.
Juice?
I think it was just some water or Patron.
That's the extreme.
Because I don't think he actually expected us to get a bottle of Patron, but Matt already had a bottle of Patron from something else. I don't know if it was a gift. I don't know if it was left over from a party or what.
But you do realize those options are like zero.
No, I
and
get it.
Fucking 100.
And which is why he thought it was funny, and which is why it was funny.
It was even funnier when fucking EC was on his fifth shot, and Matt was like, "I'm done, dude. I'm done."
That was me. I was the one that was cutting myself off.
Yeah, and then he made a comment like, we're just getting started, and you said something like, oh, you don't know when I got started.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right.
See, if I had the bell, I would have been ringing the bell.
Well, that's not the bell. You remember what this... See, we should do a whole episode, a tribute episode to the bell.
We'd have to play every single fucking episode.
Well, what I'm saying is that like this bell is just as... bigger part of this show as the four of us.
And it's not even, it started out for inappropriate stuff, but it's pretty much any time like we need to like
accentuate
exactly
something
exactly.
That may not have gotten the proper respect
good,
it deserved.
Good word.
Thank accentuate. You. Accentuate. That's what it is.
Well, in case you haven't figured it out, Tony.
Kevin.
And we are here and we've got some wrestling to talk.
About?
Yeah, pretty much. I know we're late to the party, but I guess we should start off with Bruno.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is your guy.
Yeah,
so.
It sucked, dude. It sucked. Like, I know how people felt like when Dusty Rhodes passed away, because a lot of people were Dusty Rhodes guys.
Right.
But fucking. Holy shit, I did that myself. Yeah, but Bruno is my guy, dude. Bruno is my guy. And if you guys don't listen to network shows, network programming... or even rant programming. First of all, shame on you.
That's right.
Second of all, Phil did an amazing episode, which I was a part of on Friday. He did an entire episode on Bruno.
Did he put that out there?
Oh, yeah. It's out there.
No, I mean, did he advertise it? Because I didn't see anything that he was doing a Bruno show with you.
No, it was kind of last minute, and he was asking me, like, he's like, I'm doing a Bruno show if you want to call in. And then I didn't get out of work till 9, so I listened to it on the train and in the car. And then at 9:45, I was washing my balls trying to fucking get situated.
There's an image.
And I hear Phil going, oh, I thought Tony was going to call in. I'm like, hey, fuck,
man.
I got to.
Where's Tony? Ah, man, I don't even know.
No, I did. I think the two of us did about 45 or 50 minutes together.
Fucking Christ, on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
After already a 45-minute show?
Oh, yeah. Well, his first 45 minutes were a little more of just Phil venting about his fucking ride home and all that shit.
Oh, okay.
You know? Love you, Phil.
I'm going to totally overuse the bell.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so Bruno passed away, 82 years old. If you guys have been living under a rock, his story is much more outside the story of professional wrestling. 187 main event sellouts at Madison Square Garden.
188 if you count the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, that was one of the things we talked about, too. The Hall of Fame was definitely long overdue, but glad to see that they were able to work things out. And he wasn't dedicated, inducted as you know, posthumously. I always fuck that word up.
Yeah, you do.
He wasn't inducted after he died. That was the good thing.
There you go.
That's kind of the point I wanted to get across. But yeah, I mean, shit. What else is there to say?
I mean, that's your guy, and I have all the respect in the world for Bruno Sammartino. We've always done the Mount Rushmore, and Bruno is on mine. It's the guys that did the best for the business in the era that they were on top, and that's clearly Bruno, probably more so than anyone else. I mean, you could debate Bruno Hulk, you can debate Bruno Austin, you can even, to me, debate Bruno Cena. But to me, Bruno, and Paul Heyman even said it on in that WWE tribute, that Bruno was the biggest box office draw, tenure-wise, length-wise, of all time.
Yeah, and I mean, Paul Heyman would know because he's a city guy.
Yeah.
So him and his family had the experience.
You don't sell out 187 times at MSG for nothing.
No, not at all. And that's a huge
thing. That's like once a month they're at MSG, right? If I'm not mistaken, it's pretty basically much, once yeah. a month at pretty MSG. Much.
And he did this. The prime of his career with WWE was from 1963 pretty much to 1980. Like, he had that little bit of a run from like 85, 86, 87. That's how I got to know him, because that's exactly when I started following wrestling.
Right.
But, you know, for that stretch, it's something I didn't realize until earlier today when I was doing some research. Children were not allowed in Madison Square Garden through either one of his title reigns.
Huh?
There was a ban on children being involved. I forget what the incident was, but there was some sort of riot that happened. So the Athletic Commission banned anyone under the age of 14 from attending any wrestling or boxing matches.
All right. You know, children are still.
Well, I mean, you had to be 14 to get in.
Yeah, okay. That's
you know, different. It's not
it's like
nowadays.
It's like a PG-13 movie, basically.
Yeah,
is what
but
they
it's
made
not
it.
Like nowadays where you could bring, you know, friggin' newborns if you really
well,
want
even
to.
In the Attitude Era, there was nothing like that, which is far worse than anything that they did back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it like this, though. This is the home arena for Capital Wrestling, for WWF. And this is the time when Bruno was on top. They didn't change the rule until Bob Backlund was champion. That's how long that rule was in effect.
I didn't know that.
That's a fucking long block. They didn't
mention
it.
I've never heard that mentioned once in my entire life.
I didn't either. But yeah, apparently it was, I think it was 1981 that they finally like changed the rule on it.
So I'm trying to go back and think of like matches that I've watched in my head from Madison Square Garden in that time period.
But then again, I mean, it's not something you're really looking at. And for the most
part, right.
For the most part, when they show the old matches, the guys are already in the ring. They're already doing the announcing. Of course, the audio never matches up.
Right.
Look, you watch footage of Bruno and Stan Stasiak when he won the belt for this, you know, to start his second reign. The crowd is just fucking crowd noise. Like, they had no idea how to edit videos or put things together properly and shit like that.
Dude,
so you don't really get an idea of just how loud and how nuts the crowd could be at times.
And I'll tell you something that I didn't realize till today, even though I probably should have, is that when Bruno broke his neck, it was only a 2-month recovery time, and he was back.
He talked about that. I think it was in his book. I remember reading it. He rushed back on purpose because, number one, you know, Vince McMahon Sr., the old man, wanted him back.
Because the money wasn't... The gates weren't that great. I watched I watched the tribute show that they did after, and they talk about this after Raw. And Pedro was drawing well at MSG, but he wasn't drawing well anywhere else.
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon Sr. was like, we need Bruno back. This is what we got to do. And then Stan Stasiak took the belt off Pedro.
Yep.
But I never knew that it was only 2 months. Like, I never realized.
Oh, 2 months for him to heal his neck.
Yeah.
Well, his neck wasn't really healed. If you watch the match and if you read the story in his book, he pretty much just went out there.
No disrespect to the late, great Bruno Sammartino, but I'm not reading his book.
You should, dude. I've got an autographed copy on the shelf.
How many Bruno autographs do you have around here?
Three, one, two, and the book. Yeah. So I have his Hall of Fame induction figure over there. I also have the LJN upstairs in the attic somewhere.
I do too, but I think I chewed the fingers off. For some reason, I remember that being a figure.
But why Bruno and why not anybody else?
I don't know, because his hand was like kind of just like out there.
Yeah, he had two hands out.
And Steamboat, I think I also chewed the fingers off. I have no idea why.
I don't know if I had Steamboat. I'm going to have to take that box down from the attic.
Please do, because I'm in like severe action figure collection disease mode.
I know, and you've got Matt hot on your tail too.
Matt's catching up.
He's fucking crazy.
It's nuts,
dude. You guys are grown fucking men.
And now we're collecting video game. I just got a great GameCube score yesterday for free. For free. Mario Party 5, Crazy Taxi.
Dude, Mario Party 5 is a fucking, that's a fucking gold mine.
The drivers, the wheel.
How the fuck did you score that?
My friend, who I used to bartend with at the Rock Bottom in West Orange, New Jersey. Cheap pup.
See, now you ring the bell for that.
But you say cheap pup.
Well, you got to put on a flat surface.
I'm going to do a 10 bell salute for that joke.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not.
All right, I'll mute the mics.
No. She put on Facebook, I have some GameCube games. Kid broke the GameCube. Who wants them? I was like, I do.
Wait, the kid broke it?
Broke the GameCube.
So you got it. It doesn't work.
I have the GameCube. I haven't tested it yet. She said it just spins around, but she gave me that too.
Okay.
So, but there's a memory card too, which is huge to come by.
Mario Party 5 alone is fucking worth the price.
I don't even know what is Mario Party 5 rare.
The Mario Party, no, but they're good and they all retain their value,
yes,
big time.
So, and I never even knew Crazy Taxi existed for GameCube.
I didn't, but you let me tell you something right now. The only way to play Crazy Taxi at home, and I don't care what you fuckers think out there, Dreamcast.
100% agree.
The Dreamcast triggers were made for that game.
Yes.
I set records. I finished all the crazy drifts and all that shit.
But you also gave me the wheel and the pedals.
Ugh.
So I don't even, like, which I don't even really, to be honest with you, I don't really care about. I'll reach out to Jamie or you.
That's probably not even worth all that much. Unless it's a real fancy one.
But if he likes to play the game.
True. Wow.
Oof. So there was Crazy Taxi, Mario Party 5, Harry Potter game. It's the games that I would never buy myself other than Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, but Mario Party 5 would probably be worth it. That's a lot of fun.
I think there's an Olsen Twins game in there.
Oh, shit. Yo, pass that my way.
I will. You can have it. It's all yours. Totally. Make a trade. Do you have any doubles back here for the NES?
Probably not, but... Well, you can give it to me considering I gave you my Super Game Boy.
That's a good point. Well, there's a trade.
There you go. Now you paid me. Now we're even.
Now we're even. You can have the Olsen Twins game.
Awesome. So anyway, no. So the second point was, so Bruno not only rushed back, but if you watch that match, it's not really much of a match. Like Bruno just came out and started beating the shit out of Stan Hansen.
Stasiak.
No, it was Stan Hansen.
He beat Stasiak for the belt.
No, but Stan Hansen broke his neck.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
When he came back, he was not healed. So he fucking just went out there and brawled, and he didn't take any moves. I don't think Stan took any moves either.
Wait, did I fuck up my timeline?
No, a little bit, but you're fine. People can follow. You mixed up your Stans a little bit. You're kind of like clumping them together.
So wait, Stan Hansen broke his neck on the side. Okay, he went home because he was just worn out. Then he came back and beat Stan Stasiak for the belt, and then Stan Hansen
later
broke
on
his
was
neck.
The Stan Hansen stuff.
And then he came back in 2 months. Yeah, gotcha.
And he probably became close, if I remember right, with Stan Hansen because Bruno used to love to work for Baba. Bruno used to go to All Japan and work.
There you go.
And as a matter of fact, at some point,
another RIP right there.
New Japan started working with WWF around like the late 70s, early 80s. That's when Inoki started coming up with the world's martial arts titles and all that. And Bruno didn't want to work with New Japan because he was loyal to Baba. That's one weird thing. Like, whenever you hear shit about, like, Japan, like, Bruno, the Bulldogs, a lot of the guys out of that era, if they worked for somebody in Japan, they were loyal to that person. They never jumped. And if they did jump, it was a big deal. Like, when the Bulldogs decided to jump, the fucking people lost their minds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When it was Japan, you were either Inoki or Baba. There was no, like, back and forth. Speaking of which...
Baba just passed away.
Yeah, his wife just passed away. Yeah.
Baba's been dead, right?
Baba's been dead a while, yeah.
His wife passed
away. Apparently...
Mix that story up, too.
If I remember correctly, I don't think she was too beloved when she took over the reins at All Japan.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I think we had this conversation a few months ago. We were trying to figure out if All Japan was still a thing.
Right.
Because don't forget, All Japan in the 90s was the fucking place to be. The guys fighting for the Triple Crown for all those years, they were hot.
Yeah.
Really hot. And then all of a sudden, like, it looked like New Japan was going to go away. Now New Japan is fucking hotter than shit.
New Japan's going to... Listen, mark my words, and I'm not the first one to say it, and I probably won't be the last. New Japan's going to have a fucking... great stranglehold one day on the U.S. market.
It's possible. They're making strides. They've got tons of fans here.
The time is right for that to happen. Now, whether or not they want it or not, like, and then Ring of Honor will benefit from that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You know what? Fuck it. I will make a bold prediction. By 2020, New Japan Pro Wrestling will be syndicated live. Not live. That was weird. Because you can't be syndicated and live. Can you?
Well, no, not really.
But they will have a weekly show on a major cable company in the United States, bigger than Access, by 2020, weekly show, New Japan, mark it.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
There it is. That's my bold prediction, by 2020.
Matt had sent us earlier in the day the Dave Meltzer, obituary. You know,
wait, like, what?
Yeah, no.
Meltzer died?
Yes, Dave Meltzer's dead. Rest in peace. Fuck Dave Meltzer.
Forget Dave Meltzer.
Fuck him, motherfucker.
Did you watch their network show yet or no?
Yes.
You did? How was it?
We could talk about that in a little bit. It was really good. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me see. Can you tell me Bruno's final match in WWF? I think his final match ever in his career.
It was 88.
1987, August 29th.
Okay.
Can you tell me what the match was? I didn't know this.
Was it him and David against somebody?
No. But David was one of his last matches at the Garden anyway.
I'll shoot a guess out there. It's probably going to be wrong. I have no idea. It's probably going to be... Nah, fuck it. I'm not even
going to
guess.
It was a tag match. They took on King Kong Bundy.
Him and Andre the Giant?
No, close. It was him and Hogan. It was the only time Bruno and Hogan
against
ever teamed
Bundy
up.
And Stud?
Bundy and One Man Gang.
Ooh, nice.
That's a fucking heavy-duty twosome.
Well, they were part of that first Survivor Series match as a team. That was like the biggest team like ever.
This was just before that Survivor Series, wasn't it? Survivor Series was 87?
The first one, which was Andre, One Man Gang, Bundy, Rude, and Butch Reed.
Yep. And superstar Billy Graham was almost in that, but then he had to pull out because he had his hip problems.
Is that why Don Morocco was in it, or was he going to be on that team? Was he going to be
Don Morocco took his place.
Okay.
That's how it worked out. Because remember, that was when he became The Rock.
Yeah.
Let me see. Sold out the Spectrum February 16th, 1985, teaming with David to beat Bobby Heenan and Paul Orndorff by disqualification. He actually, his official retirement match was supposed to be on the night that WWF debuted at the Meadowlands Arena.
Ooh.
He beat George Steele. And then he finishes.
Wait, supposed to debut? It didn't debut?
No, that was the, he was supposed to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first show, the first wrestling show at the Meadowlands Arena. Which became Continental, which became Izod.
And before that, Brendan Byrne.
Oh, sure, Brendan Byrne. Yes, I completely forgot about that. Yes, rest in peace, Brendan Byrne.
That's
he
right.
Passed away recently too.
This Jesus. Is gonna be the dead show.
Oof, you ain't kidding. But he also went
Paul
to
Paul Jones, RIP.
Huh?
Paul Jones, rest in peace. Throwing that out there.
It's almost like we can't get to a show this week.
No, it's all right. Who else?
George H.W. Bush passed away.
Today?
He died about an hour ago.
Get the fuck out of here.
They announced it. Yeah. Fucking Barbara and George.
I saw that he was admitted to the hospital in intensive care hours after that happened.
That broke about an hour ago when I was having my supper.
I was watching a Bruno documentary.
So Bruno had a major feud, probably the most well-known feud because it happened like later in his career, was with his protege Larry Zbysko. That was amazing. They fought in a cage at Shea Stadium. That was on the undercard of Inoki and Ali from Japan. And something else that you guys may want to check out, I would not play the audio because it's so damn long, but it's very interesting. Bruno and Bill Apter actually sat and did commentary.
Are you sure?
George
Bush died?
Yeah.
I'm on CNN.com and it's not even a headline.
Unless I got fucking had. No, 40.
He said the last I saw, he was responsive. But in intensive care.
Okay. Fuck. My bad.
Fake news Tony.
Fucking A, dude. I got fucking hammered.
Hello. I'm afraid I got some fake news for you.
I don't want it to be like, what the fuck, but I'm almost 100% sure that I read that on the Daily Wire page on Facebook. And they're pretty credible. So fucking bad on me for not double checking that. Fuck, dude. Now I feel like a dick.
I'm afraid I got some fake news.
I really feel like a dick now.
Bruno Sammartino.
Unless it was one of those things where it's like Betty White dyes her hair or some shit like that. You remember that shit?
What? What does that have to do with George Bush?
There was... Because...
Did she dye her bush? Did her bush die?
Give me the fucking bell, damn it.
No, the hoax with Betty White was that she dies in her home, and it was spelled D-Y-E-S because here, she dyes her hair.
Here, catch. This could be fun.
Well, boo-hoo on me. So George Bush is still alive. Fuck.
Darn it.
Now I feel like a dick. Oh, shit. So, yeah, his feud with Larry Zbyszko. Now I feel like a fucking asshole.
It's okay, man. You didn't know.
Oof, you're right. I didn't know. I shouldn't have fucking said anything.
Oh, you didn't know?
Fuck, I even told my kid. Now I feel like I fucking...
Go tell your... I'll filibuster. Go tell your kid. Does your kid even... How does your kid even know who George W... H.W. Bush is?
I had to explain who he was.
H.W. Huff and Puff and stuff.
Fuck. Fuck my hand.
I remember back in the day when Nickelodeon had, like, a vote hotline where you could vote for your president via a free toll-free number. The first one I ever did was the George Bush... Bill Clinton election, and I actually voted through Nickelodeon, which counts, by the way.
That's fucking funny.
On Nickelodeon for George W. Bush. Or not George W. Bush, George H. W. Bush, whatever.
Well, no, I mean, I follow you, because I'm kind of old like that.
But that's Nickelodeon. I felt like my vote, it wasn't like vote, it wasn't P. Diddy's vote or die. It was like vote or get tickled or something.
You know what's funny? They did the same shit when I was in high school. They had two...
Well, you're a lot older than me.
No, but this was 1988, dude. So it was like when George Bush was running against... No, wait. Reagan ran against Mondale. Who did George Bush run against?
What, the first election?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Was it No, it wasn't Mondale, was it? Mondale was Reagan the second time. Fuck.
Was it?
Great. Now, of course, everything's coming up about him. Vice president, blah, 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 blah. Dan Quayle was his right. Yeah, we know that. Fuck. Presidential campaign.
88 would be, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Tony.
Michael Dukakis. Yeah, it was all Michael right. Dukakis. Then who the fuck did Reagan run against in 84?
Fuck, I was a baby.
Oh, it was Mondale. Dukakis was 88. Okay.
Mike Mondale?
Yes, Mike Mondale.
The guy who no-showed us. The Spirit Squad? Mike Mondale?
Yes. His name actually came across my Facebook today, too. I hope he wasn't the one that died. Jesus.
Who, Mike Mondale? Or Mike Mondo?
Wait, who's Mike Mondale?
That's the guy who you just said ran against...
Walter Mondale.
Oh, you said Mike Mondale.
I thought you said Mike Mondo.
I did say Mike Mondo, making a joke after I thought you said Mike Mondale. Because you were confusing Mike Dukakis and Walter Mondale.
Yes, I did kind of.
So I think
up.
You said Mike Mondale.
You know, I'm still bereaved over Bruno passing away.
Or the fake death of...
the fake death of
George H.W. Bush.
God damn it. Yes. Rest in peace, Bruno. He was an amazing guy. I've told the story about when I met him at the big event, 2 years back. And I told him that I really enjoyed the story of his mother and what a wonderful woman I thought she was. And he looked at me with a big smile on his face and he said, yeah, if it wasn't for her, I would have died. And he had like a chuckle in his voice. Just going to show that, like, how appreciative he was that he was still here and what he was able to do.
That's crazy, because he broke down in tears in that interview from 2013 about that whole situation.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. But I think it was just that he was in a place where he was probably happy more that somebody was actually talking to him about his life as opposed to, like, his career, if that makes sense.
Is this Phil's number, 347-432?
Well, don't give out the whole thing. Possibly. Is he texting me too?
Yeah, I'm wondering. In a group.
Okay. Bruno versus Hogan versus the Gang and Bundy. Yes, Phil Rea knows his shit too. Hey, Phil, George Bush didn't die, in case you got that far in the show or you didn't get that far in the show.
That's right.
Fuck. Now I feel like I have to edit the show.
No, you don't. It's fine. Listen, no one, this is not.
We're not CNN. We're not Fox News.
Exactly.
We're not. Oof, you come for us for fucking serious news. You got a fucking problem.
The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
All right, you're venturing out into other podcasts. Let me ask you a question. How fucking awful would it be if we decided to do a political show?
It would be awful because I wouldn't do it.
Fair enough.
Which actually means it would probably be great.
What about a news show? What if we just did like your weekly news, like this week in news or some shit
like a
that.
Daily show type gimmick?
No, but we wouldn't be goofy. We would try to keep it serious, you know?
I would never ever do it.
No opinions, just fact.
So we just read the news.
Pretty much.
Which people can get at the tap of a finger on all, any of their
yes,
devices.
Yes, but it's coming from us. Only available to Shining Wizards Network.
And we're not goofy?
Well,
that defeats the entire purpose of what we do.
We could do serious news for like the first 10 minutes, and then we could be like, you know, like Bill Johnson's house was on fire. Find out why after this. And then play some fucking dopey commercial for like Inconclusive Breakdown or some
Bill Johnson's house was on fire.
And then we come back and it's like, oh,
you should see his Johnson now.
Oh, boo. Fuck.
It's a bratwurst.
And then we come back and his house was on fire because like he donated his house to the fire department to practice putting out fires or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like we just like have dopey builds. I don't know.
I mean,
just a thought.
If your idea for dopey builds was that,
so
you're,
we'd have to be,
you're
we'd
right
have
there.
To be goofy. We would have to. That would have to be the hook. We wouldn't be able to do straight news.
Let's focus on one thing at a time.
Matt would be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Matt's like, we can't even get together for a
we
fucking...
We can't even talk about wrestling. Yeah. Fucking assholes. Oof. Love you, Matt.
But she's not wrong.
So Bruno died. I can't even fucking talk
he
about
did.
It anymore, dude.
That's all right. We don't have to talk about Bruno, man.
I have some sound bites if you feel like playing one or two.
You have the soundboard.
If you want to hear them. Otherwise, we don't care.
Yeah, play one. Whatever. See what you got.
This one is probably my all-time favorite Bruno moment just because he was never really in this position before. And he just like his
doggy
anger,
style.
His anger just turned on a switch. You'll know it when you hear it.
Ricky Steamboat has been taken to the hospital by ambulance. He was in agony. His breathing is terrible, even though he has his tooth down his throat. All of his friends were back here. We're waiting for further news, further report. It was one of the most devastating things I've ever seen. No excuse in the world for it. There was no reason by this slime, the so-called champion,
to have little yet. What's the update? Tell me, man. What's in the house?
Are you happy about it?
No. Send a hot dog to the hospital yet, huh? Maybe put some mustard on him right now, get him all set up for the champion right there. I'm so proud of myself.
You
I'm
piece of slime, you're happy about it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
I let it run for another minute because you got to hear classic Jesse Ventura right after this. It's only a couple seconds.
You know, McMahon, what a despicable act on the part of San Martino.
What?
He's supposed to be an unbiased reporter back there to try to get the facts and he attacks Macho Man Savage.
You saw what happened.
I can't believe it. I don't even think I'm going to work with San Martino up there anymore.
Fine, well, you don't have to work with me either.
That's so amazing. Much happened there. This was when Ricky Steamboat had his larynx crushed by Macho Man, in case you guys don't know the storyline, which led, of course, to the epic battle at WrestleMania 3. But Bruno, the expression on his face when he was pissed off at Savage, and Savage went down for him. It wasn't even like a pull apart. People pulled Bruno off of Savage. How great was the line when he goes, did they take the hot dog out of here? Did they put some mustard on him? And then Jesse, you know, Bruno's supposed to be an impartial announcer, interviewer.
And he attacks. I haven't heard that in so long.
And he goes, I don't think I can work with him anymore.
That's great. But
Jesse just
that's
makes
perfect heel.
It's so over the top that he just it made you hate Macho Man that much more in that moment. Just fucking
because he went to bat for Macho Man.
Beautiful.
Which is great.
He goes, you piece of slime. You're happy about that? And he just fucking grabs him by the throat.
I really thought he. I like I said, I haven't heard this in a long time. So I really thought he was going to say, you piece of, you know, that shit. Why the fuck, where are my you piece of shit. I thought he was going to say, why did I almost censor myself
because that's what Bruno did. That's why.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. I'm actually have to go watch that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And he didn't even want to be in wrestling at this point in his life, you know?
Yeah.
And he still fucking puts it over the top and still makes it important.
That was Bruno.
Fucking Bruno, man.
They're you got really another one? You got one more to tie a bow on?
Yeah, you know what? We could go for a few more minutes with Bruno.
Listen, again, I'll let you talk about Bruno all you want, man.
All right, well, then I'll tell a couple stories that I told over at Turnbuckle Throwbacks, but this is a great one, too. This is a live Piper's Pit from MSG. You'll probably remember this as soon as you start hearing it.
I noticed that you lost a little hair.
I lost quite a bit of hair, just like my father. He lived to be 95.
Wow. Good pop for that line.
There's a wonderful thought. Tell me something. When you were coming over to this country, from where are you from, man?
I'm very proud of it. I'm from Italy.
Listen to the pop that gets. Everything Bruno says gets a pop.
By the way, in Italy, we don't wear skirts.
See, that was just antagonizing. There's no call for that.
Oh, that's the way you want to play, huh? It ain't me that's got a little fat puke son that runs around covering his daddy's name, man. Huh? Watch what?
I'm telling you, don't start getting smart because I said it before. I won't take it from you. Now interview me like a man or just walk out of here.
Do you think, sit down then, if you want to be interviewed like a man, you sit down like a man. You think 15 years ago, when you were in your prime 15 years ago, do you figure that you could at least stand a lick of a chance against someone like myself who is in my prime now? There is a big difference. I want you to think. I know that it is hard for you to think. I know, take your time. I did not make the question too hard. I realize that your ears are all nasty and naughty. I know that your nose is smeared all over your face. There is nothing wrong with me. Do you think in your wildest dreams, after 15 years, that you could even come close?
I faced the best in the world, and if you were around 15 years ago, I would have squashed you like a grape, and I'll squash you like a grape now.
You stupid walk, man!
Yeah, Bruno wasn't going to take that. Don't call Bruno a wop.
Oh, mama.
Yes. This is what they used to get away with back in the 80s, folks. And this is funny. Like, you can hear Gorilla in the back. Like, they started double-teaming on Bruno, and then Bruno was able to fight
Bob anyway. Orton there, too, I'm guessing?
Of course, the ace. That's my bodyguard. I love my bodyguard. Yeah, it's pretty much it. It's just chaos at that point. How fucking great was that? He was standing toe-to-toe with Piper.
That's awesome.
And that was Piper in his prime, man. When Piper was on the stick back in the 80s, there was nobody better.
And let's not get crazy. Like, back in the day, like, unless you were maybe, like, promos weren't like they were in before the 80s, in, like, 80s. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. They
weren't that kind of way. Like, Bruno was never, I mean, unless you had, like, your buddy Roger, your whatever. Like, you want to do that, that's fine. But Bruno was never the best talker.
He would just tell a story.
He would just tell it like it was.
That's
like, he's like, his part of his promo was like, just like my daddy was 95 years old, I lost a lot of hair. And then that got a pop.
Yeah.
So like, I'm very proud to be from, it's going to be awful impersonations, so I'll just say it like me. I'm proud to be from Italy, pop.
Yeah.
So like, those promos weren't, but he didn't need it because he was so fucking over. It was insane.
He just spoke like a guy that wants to, like, that guy that wants to.
He's like, I'll squash you like a grape then, and I'll squash you like a grape now. Like,
yeah.
That's fucking tough guy shit right there.
And he's
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, what's up?
And this is not a joking question at all. Were steroids around in that era, in the 60s and 70s?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the history of, like, you know, steroid use.
Right.
Even, wasn't it always a thing where, like, in the Olympics?
And I'm not saying it was bad, because it may not, if they were, I'm not saying it was bad, because, again, they weren't illegal for a long time, so it's not a bad thing. But he just, his story of where it came from and how big he fucking got.
Yeah.
And, again, that's growing, that's this and that. I'm not trying to shit on the guy at all. But I just, it's wrestling, so you have to ask, like.
No, he never did. And, like, as a matter of fact, that was a huge part of the rift that he had with his son, David.
Because David was doing them?
Found out David was doing them, and that's why they didn't speak.
Okay. Well, then there it is.
But it's weird, too. Somebody else brought up the point that he was working with, he worked with, whatchamacallit around the loop, Superstar. And Superstar,
yeah,
you know, he was unapologetic about it. You know?
Well, because at the time, it wasn't considered doing anything wrong.
Yeah. And then again, he wanted out of the business. He was done with the business by 81.
I was just, that's something that always been on my mind. And again, like, because he saw the picture. Like, he said himself, he was 84 years old when he started weight training. I mean, 84,
Jesus.
84 God. Pounds when he started weight training. And then he blew up to, like, this fucking monster.
He was sick. He wasn't supposed to survive in Italy. When they wound up in the mountains and stuff, the doctors told his mother, "Yo, he's got 2 days to live. Make your arrangements. You know, get your grieving out of the way."
Like, I'm looking at the picture that we got on the wall right now, and it's just like, he's a monster.
Oh yeah, big dude.
That's like Rusev build right there.
Big dude.
Doesn't that look all natural? You could put Rusev's head right there, and it'd be basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe his traps are a little bigger.
I miss his perm days. Oh, Bruno loved to wear a wig.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, like in his run in the 70s, dude, he had a perm. He had a full head of hair, but that wasn't a wig, though. Oh, yeah.
It was a wig?
Look at him in the 80s. He had no hair on his head. You take a look at that interview he did with Piper.
Wait. In the 70s.
He had a perm.
I know he had a perm, but the perm wasn't a wig.
That was the story, but it was a wig.
I just thought that he got it done because it was the 70s.
No, I don't think he had much hair then either.
But
60s, sure, he had a nice head of hair, but I know
he started losing it.
I think once he lost the title and he was still wrestling around the circuit, I think that's when
he came back. Unless WWE like doctored some of the footage in a documentary, he came back with straight hair too.
All right, true. But then again, I mean, look, perms were big back then. Look at
That's why I would have no reason to believe it was a wig. I just thought he got it done.
Anyway, well, that was the story. Then again, they said Vince McMahon had a wig for how many years?
Is that in his book? The perm thing? Does he talk about that?
He wouldn't talk about wearing a wig. He's kayfabe, bro.
How could you wrestle wearing a wig?
The people done it. You ever see that match that Iron Mike Sharp had with the jobber and his fucking hairpiece came off?
Jobber, that's one thing.
But still.
Get away with that being a big star. The biggest star.
Well, maybe that's why he wore a wig. If he did.
Hmm.
It's kind of rough to look at his hair with the perm and then look at his hair before that and something just doesn't seem right. The fountain of misinformation, I am sitting on the couch here tonight.
I guess I have too much respect for Bruno to think that he'd wear a wig.
Why? No respect if he did wear one? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
he was former world champion, bro.
Fucking just shave your head, be bald.
Well, he did in his later years.
Of course.
Well, didn't have much of a choice. He didn't have anything left, really. Oh shit, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's.
I'm sorry for the dead air. I just never in my not one time in my head that I ever think that he ever wore. And I know he was losing. I know he was thinning, but I'd never once in my head thought that the perm was a wig. Maybe after the fact, his run.
Okay, 8 things you did not know. Okay, Bruno Sammartino wig. The first two pictures that come up are his perm. Oh shit. Okay, well it's Sports Kita, so World War II survivor. We knew that. Oh, it's going to be one of these.
It's like a slideshow where you actually got a
pain in the ass.
The worst.
Oh my god, and it's all the bullying. We know about that. He was like an 84-pound kid. His match with the orangutan. Somebody convinced him to wrestle a fucking orangutan for 5 minutes.
All right.
And I think he cheated. He actually punched. Because he couldn't win. He was getting the shit kicked out of himself, so he punched it, and the fucking referee.
Yeah.
The promoter didn't give him any money for it.
Sometimes you just kind of.
Oh, geez. Let me see.
You gotta do what you got to do.
Oh, you know what? Fuck Sports Kita. The entire thing, not one fucking thing about his wig. Oh, Jesus.
That's disappointing.
The many hairstyles of Bruno Sammartino. I didn't realize that was an article in and of itself.
Listen, Bruno was a big time guy.
Well, listen, if you want the answers to questions, you have to go to wikianswers.net. And this one, did Bruno Sammartino wear a wig? Yes, that Afro one was hilarious. There's your answer.
Who, but from who?
From K. Fabe.
Yeah, all right. Fucking Mark.
And it wasn't even K-A-Y. It was just the letter K with Fabe next to it. Oh my god, that really made me laugh,
dude. When you perm the hair, doesn't it
thin out? Right?
No, it tightens it up, right, and makes it.
It's completely possible. If you guys think Bruno wore a wig, send us a message on Twitter at Wizards Podcast or a Facebook message.
That's right.
Audience participation. I feel like we didn't even talk about Bruno, but we did. Oof. All right.
I don't believe for a second. I mean. Granted, little suspect when he had the straightest hair in the world, And then it became extremely homosexual.
Well, he's got wavy hair there. I guess even there. Huh?
You didn't ring the bell there at all.
What?
Said he had the straightest hair in the world, and then it became completely homosexual.
Oh, you did say that?
I did.
Shit, my bad.
That's all right.
That was a good line. I'm sorry I stepped on
it. It's okay. Then it became curly.
Here I am defending the fucking guy's hair. Never mind that he was a fucking 2-time world champion.
For like 11 years total? Was that
some shit like 40-40.
40-40?
40-40.
What does that mean?
That's how many days he had the title for over 2 reigns.
Ah.
Now you see.
Roman Reigns.
You see, if somebody really wanted to be a prick these days, they could call themselves Mr. 40-41. And it's their fucking career. It's their wish, their dream to be a champion longer than Bruno Sammartino.
They doctor all the stats anyway. They might as well.
Yeah.
But from what I literally just watched the documentary the WWE Network put out before this show, and they said that his combined reigns are more than Hogan, Cena, and Austin combined.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah,
so there's no one that's ever.
I think you'd be lucky if Austin's reigns totaled 5 years. I think that might be a stretch. I don't even think so.
I mean, Hogan lengthwise would probably.
Oh, he's got a thermos, brother.
Would probably have the best of since Bruno.
I think he's like 2,700 days, maybe.
And then
that can't be right. That can't be right. All right, you know what? Filibuster for a second because
it would have to be right, just because like.
Well, Wikipedia puts this stuff up, so I'll just check that out.
Hogan has to have the most. If you want to do combined reigns, it's got to be Hogan. But then again, Cena held the belt fucking 16 times, goddamn times. So if even 2 of those are like more than a year.
Okay. List of WWE.
That's really not that much, actually.
List of WWE champions. Here we go. So I could do it by days held. Okay.
All right.
Oh, it's not going to give me the total?
Nah, don't worry about it.
No.
No one cares about this shit. Someone's going to have the answer before we even figure it out anyway. Prince of Pro will.
Bob Backlund held it for 2135 and 1470. So he's got 3,500 under his belt.
Forgot about the back.
And he's also got. Oh, okay. No, and then there's also that little one that he has, which is probably further down the list when he beat Bret Hart. But Bruno has 2803 and 1237. Hogan, maybe. Oh, I could sort it by wrestler. That might be easier.
What else were you sorting it by? Fucking cosmetics?
No, you sort it by days of reigns, but it only gives you them individually. It doesn't give you them together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it gives you Bruno's reign, and then it goes down the list to the next. You have to find them. So Hogan was 1,500, another 350, another 240, 70. No, he's not even 2,000.
In the year 2000.
He's not even 2,000. Wait, Steve Austin should be first on the list? Oh, they go by first names? Oh, fucking boo.
Oh, man. Oh,
that
God.
That really sucks. Okay, Steve Austin's longest reign was only 175 days.
Okay.
And then he had 91, 90.
All over the place.
So, he's probably got like a year and a quarter.
I think it was more for dramatic effect that the three biggest stars, other than Bruno, Bruno outdid them all together.
No, sure enough.
No one's going to pop if you say that he outlasted Bob Backlund.
Yeah, but Bob Backlund held the title for a long time, dude.
But no one's going to really pop when you mention Bob Backlund in the same breath.
Well,
as
second longest individual reign was Backlund if you don't count the whole thing with fucking Inoki in Japan. Yeah. Which is really weird, like when they would do shit like that and then not count it. Here's a bit of trivia for you.
Ooh, is it a question or is it just a fact that you're dropping on me?
No, all right, I could ask it as a question, but you might not have any idea.
I probably won't.
Okay, so the story goes in Japan that Backlund lost the title to Inoki.
All right.
The rematch had 2 referees. I think one that was assigned by WWF, one was assigned by New Japan. It ended in a double countout, double schmoz. It was something where they wound up actually holding up the title, right?
Yeah.
So they came back to the United States. They didn't announce Bob Backlund when he came out of the Garden as champion. They had him wrestle one person, and then the winner of that match was announced as the WWF champion. Do you know who he wrestled for the held-up title to officially claim it back?
What year?
I think it was 79. Let me see. I have the note here. And it was a Texas death match, if that helps.
It does kind of.
I believe it was 78. I want to see. There should be a little note
Texas.
Here.
It's not going to be a funk. It's not going to be. Stan Hansen's the obvious answer, but I don't think it's him.
It's not Stan Hansen.
Texas Death. Dusty Rhodes?
No, but that would have been my thought, too.
All right. Then I had one more guess.
It was Madison Square Garden, December 17th, 1979.
Dick Murdoch?
Bobby Duncum Sr.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough one. Unless you're thinking about him, you would never figure that out. So, yeah. So, he came to the ring without the belt. They announced that it was for the championship. And then when he won the match, they said, "Your winner and WWF champion, Bob Backlund."
Wow.
Ta-da!
What, that happened again, like, much later. You know what that always reminds me of?
What's that?
This is the first time I've ever heard it, so it doesn't always remind me of. But you know what it reminds me of right now? Is when the Ultimate Warrior won the World Championship, had the Intercontinental Championship, and out of nowhere we have this tournament final between Tito Santana and Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental Championship, and Mr. Perfect becomes the Intercontinental Champion. It's like I'm just waking up one morning watching Superstars.
I thought they had a tournament for
I don't
that.
Know if they may have.
I thought they did.
I don't think they did, man.
We'll have to check that out. But here's another little factoid
in a few minutes when we take our break, we'll take a look and we'll research all this stuff.
The title was also declared vacant after a controversial bout between Bob Backlund and Greg Valentine, where Bob Backlund scored the win, but the dazed referee raised Valentine's hand and gave him the belt.
That's like Steve Harvey announcing the Miss America or the Miss Universe.
But here's the fucked up thing, right? So that happened on October 19th. They waited until November 23rd for the rematch where Backlund won the belt. Oh, here. Backlund defended the belt in other cities between the two matches taking place. So they specifically did that just for the Madison Square Garden crowd.
All right.
That's insane. All right, well, you know what? We'll take a quick break and we'll come
back. We don't have to break now. It's not even, I mean, we can. If we're going to wrap a bow on the Bruno stuff, we can break.
I mean, I don't know what else. I mean, you know what? If you want, I could play his opinions on Ric Flair.
Go for it.
Because apparently it's a little long. It's like 4 minutes. Apparently, Ric Flair really didn't care for Bruno, but you'll hear why in Bruno's response.
Is it because Bruno didn't care for Buddy Rogers?
No. Oh. No, you'll see. You just think Bret Hart, you'll get what I'm saying.
You underneath, and we talked about this in Madison Square Garden, wrestling Pete Sanchez, and that you had worked in St. Louis on shows with him. He said in watching you, he wasn't impressed. He said you didn't do much in the ring, and he said you weren't a draw outside of the Northeast.
Wow. I wasn't a draw outside of the Northeast. Well, then, let's show how much Ric Flair knows about my career. I went to San Francisco, and Ray Stevens and I sold out the Cow Palace, okay? Not once, but several times. I went to Florida with Tanaka, and we sold out in a big arena in St. Petersburg. I went to Tanaka in the Omni in Georgia, and we sold that out. I drew a big house with Kowalski in Los Angeles. How can I think of everything? In Japan, when I was in Japan, Flair, guess what? He worked underneath me. I was the headliner with Baba. He was on the card underneath. The only one time I was in Japan with him. He need to be reminded that he has the audacity to say that, because when he came to New York and he told you worked under me, they always thought about Hogan. They're going to bring him in and poke him up with Hogan. Well, him and Hogan wrestled all over the Northeast and they couldn't sell out anything. You know about that. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden, they drew 9,000 or 10,000 people.
It's true.
All over the territory. J.J. Dillon said, was telling me how they were shocked, McMahon and company, and how they had to redo the scheduling because they knew that the match that they had such high hopes for didn't deliver anywhere near that. And as far as me being lazy, talk to guys like the Kowalskis of the world and others and tell them what Flair said and see what they think of that as far as I'll tell you something about Flair, that some people write him as the greatest wrestler that ever lived. I have to laugh at that. That is such a cartoon. I will give you this. He is a hard worker. I would never take it away from Flair. He was a hard worker. And he took a lot of bumps in that ring. But you saw Ric Flair wrestle once, you've seen him 100 times, because Ric Flair was the same match every time he went into the ring. Same match. Bruno Sammartino may have not been the most talented guy in the world, but I'll tell you what he was. If he wrestled a Bruiser Brody or Kowalski, he could be a brawler. If he wrestled Hans Mortier, he was a wrestler. If he wrestled Ray Stevens, high spots galore. Same with other guys like Cicluna, with Koloff, and many others. I went into that rank and not be repetitious, because I seen guys with, I won't mention a bunch of names, that were repetition. I thought, there's something wrong with this pitcher. How can you come back month after month or whatever and be so much the same? So I was a wrestler one time, I was a great high spot guy another time, I was a brawler another time, and I was a strong man another time. It depends. And by doing that, I think, I really believe that's why I had such a long career and a successful career. When I quit this business, we were selling out all over. How long has Ric Flair been selling out all over? When's the last time he ever sold out all over?
It's been a while.
You know, so I mean, for him to say, I'm just in the Northeast, well, where was he big at then? He certainly wasn't big in the Northeast. I know he wasn't in the Carolinas.
Right.
You know, I won't take it away from him. But for him to say, like me, Northeast, but him and everybody else everywhere. When I went from New York to San Francisco, or to Los Angeles, or to Tucson, or to Phoenix, or to Atlanta, or to Florida, I went as the headliner. When Ric Flair came to New York from the Carolinas, when he came to wrestle Pete Sanchez in the preliminary. I mean, what does that tell you? I went from New York as a headliner in all these other territories. They came to New York as preliminaries because they weren't big enough to be the headliner in New York or any of the surrounding towns in New York. So, you know, Ric Flair has got a lot of guts saying what he says, a lot of guts, because if there's a guy, and I give you that, the hard worker, no question about it, the bump man, no question about it, but you want to talk about who's a one way, you know, repetition-wise, he's it. You've seen him once, you've seen him 100 times.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Nothing Bret Hart hasn't said a bunch of times in the sheets.
Which is funny. You're the Bruno guy. I'm the Bret guy. Matt, the Bret guy, and they both had the same opinion on Flair.
No,
which I don't agree with.
I'm not taking anything away from Ric Flair. Everybody's got their faults. Even Bruno's got his faults a little bit.
But let me ask you this though, before we do go to break. If Ric Flair, if what two of the best ever are saying, Bruno Sammartino and Bret Hart, are saying you've seen one Ric Flair match, you've seen it all. I'm not saying that there's credence to that, but at the same time, if that's true, and Ric Flair still got the biggest reactions and had the best matches, is that a bad thing?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So, like, my only criticism, I guess, of Bruno's statement is that Ric Flair could work, like, anyone, anytime, do the same, whatever, like, John Cena 5 Moves of Doom, but like
Bret Hart did the same thing.
Yeah, side Bret suplex, sharpshooter, elbow.
The side Russian leg sweep.
Side Russian leg. But he could also have. I think that people get overwhelmed and over involved, or I don't know, overreact to because they just remember those moves. They just remember him going up, Ric Flair going up to the top, getting caught all the time. They just remember.
Get the whip to the corner.
Whip to the corner. They just remember that. But Ric Flair probably did a lot more than. But that's just what sticks out. Same thing with Bret Hart. Same thing.
And Bret Hart, he's had amazing matches too. But he always, whenever he's got the comeback going, it's always the same 5 moves.
And which I guess is what it is. It's a comeback again. I've never really wrestled.
But that was his build up. It's the same thing with Cena. The build up with the proto bomb, the 5 knuckle shuffle, the AA.
And I think Bruno just wrestled, and I don't know how far Bruno Sammartino and Ric Flair's career overlapped, if they ever really did. They had to have at some point, because Ric Flair started in the 70s.
He didn't start until what, like 74, 70, 73,
so,
like
but
that.
Back then, like, wrestling was just a totally different animal. There wasn't, like, a finish. There wasn't, like, you could win on a power slam just as easy as you can win on, like, anything else.
Yeah.
So
fucking Bob Backlund had the atomic drop as his finish.
So it was, there wasn't, like, a real true finish. It was just who got the best of someone.
Yeah.
And that's, it wasn't expected. Like, nowadays, other than now with everyone complaining about kick out finishing, whatever, that's fine. That's not the issue that we're debating here. It's just that wrestling then was different. So you did see something every time, because there were no finishers to, I mean, there probably were, and I'm probably speaking out of turn on this, but you know what I'm saying for the most part.
Well, I got you.
Is that someone can win with a flying crossbody like Ric Flair did with Harley Race when he won his title belt.
Yeah.
And so there weren't spots to say then. It was like, I'm going to do this, do that.
Listen,
I guess.
Bruno was the king of the high spots.
That's right. Arm drag, dropkick, baby.
But he also, I mean, this also came from a place where Ric Flair just shit on your entire career. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. It's so like, he probably is a little, and again, I could be, and I'm probably am dead wrong because I'm not Bill Apter. I'm not so and so. There probably were finishing moves back then. I'm sure there were. The heart punch, obviously.
The dreaded heart punch.
But I'm talking like in the 60s and like, there couldn't have been,
it was a fucking punch to the chest.
Yeah.
It was
but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, no, it wasn't like, I'm going
to
hit you with my finish, brother. They probably didn't say that.
I hear you.
You know? I don't know. Could be way off.
Well, this was our synopsis. Wow, we did like an hour.
Bruno.
There was other stuff in there, but.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Bruno. Still probably my all-time favorite. I don't think
anybody. What do you mean probably?
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Listen, you couldn't piss me and Matt off for 6 years that he wasn't your favorite.
Oh, and it's not going to end.
Favorite wrestler.
It's just,
otherwise, we wasted a whole lot of time talking about him.
It's just unfortunate that Bruno's life is over.
No, of course,
He's never going to end on this show. Are you kidding me? I can't wait for that dickhead to come back so I can throw some more Bruno shit in his face.
That's funny.
So you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, man.
All right, so we're going to go make a pee-pee, and when we come back, we got some news and notes.
Not together.
We got stuff on Impact.
And Raw.
And Greatest
Saudi
Royal
Arabia.
Rumble. Yeah, holy shit. Durka Durka Jihad, get your turbans out.
Oh, my God.
We're traveling, right, folks.
This is my Jim from the office. Smirk at the camera if we were on.
We'll be back.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at Zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the Impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast. Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or Facebook.com/Inconclusive Breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Just when you thought I was out, they pulled me back in. That's right, it's your boy Gino Gatz, and I'm back. Every other Wednesday, we're dropping A Drink with Gino. What do you hear? What do you say? Only one way to find out. That's right here on the Shining Wizards Network and a B-plus player radio.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B-plus Player Radio Network.
It's time for plugs, and I don't have any plugs. Kevin, do you have any plugs?
Fuck, we forgot plugs.
We don't have any plugs.
How did we forget plugs? Yes, I can make some plugs.
Listen, I'm
gonna spitfire, baby.
No. Let me do it. All right, you got it.
I'm gonna try.
All right, go ahead.
All right, we'll start off with our friends from WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com. May the 4th be with you in Brooklyn, New York, Bay Ridge, to be precise. Colt Cabana will be there. You will see LAX. You will see the Heavenly Bodies, KM, Falaba, Dan Moff. That is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Creator Pro Wrestling. They're brothers to the
West. East.
Long Islandish.
Yes.
June 9th just announced. Like, Till Kingdom Come, I think it's called. Jerry the King Lawler, James Ellsworth, Pat Buck.
And more.
Many more. House of Glory. House of Glory Wrestling. Also June 9th. A show.
HOGWrestling.net.
Wildcat Sports. Wildcat Sports with a K.com.
Smash. Smash-Wrestling.com. On Point Wrestling. OPWrestling.com.
Game Changer Wrestling.
I don't have a plug.
Combat Zone Wrestling.
Yes. Standalone Wrestling.
Standalone Wrestling.
BattleClubPro.com. Pro Wrestling Magic. WrestlingIsMagic.com. What? Facebook.com/what?
I can't believe
tomorrow?
We forgot plugs.
Wrestling has a tomorrow.
Capital Wrestling.
Yes, CapitalWrestling.com. Go check them out. Support all of them.
NYC Wrestling, New York City Wrestling.
Yes.
Steve Mack.
That's Now You Create.
Yes. Oh,
Steve Mack turned on Dan Moff, that cocksucker.
Oh, boy. We're going to have a feud between you and Matt over the Mack and Moff feud.
Well, Matt hates Moff, and I hate Mack, I guess.
Well, that,
right?
that just makes sense for the story.
Yeah, we'll have to go with that.
Listen, if we forgot you, I'm so sorry. Oh, fuck.
If Matt McIntosh
will be at all of these shows.
Yes. You know what? I started watching. There was a match that Matt McAvely with Sonny Kiss. I think it was from Beyond.
Beyond or Capital?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Wow, Matt's going to kill us.
You fucked up the plugs.
All you had to do was do plugs.
No, we didn't. We didn't have no fucking idea. I didn't get no...
Listen, I apologize.
I didn't get no liner.
I should have known. That's my fault.
Nah, who gives a shit?
I wanted to make sure I watched the Bruno documentary because I knew
that's
what we were going to spend a lot of time on. And I wanted to talk... I wanted to at least read the results for Impact because this was on traditional pay-per-view and not the regular pay-per-view.
Isn't that crazy?
I watched Raw. I watched NXT. I watched SmackDown. So I wanted to, and I just totally forgot about plugs. I apologize.
No, so, look, you go to shiningwizards.com. You go to the little banner on the side. It says Friends of the Show. You click on one of those. You get all the information you need. We got the United States covered pretty much. We got Canada covered. So if you're looking for wrestling and you're within the sounds of our voices.
Voices.
Check them out.
Let hear voices in my head.
Tell me you don't see wrestling.
I just did a shot of Tennessee Fire. Oh, no, wait, no, the winter Tennessee Fireball. Cider.
Holy shit, I'm looking at the page. We had an episode called Garifas Unemployedus.
Yeah. How many downloads does that have? Like probably 200?
1,300 on this website, on the webpage alone.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yeah. Dude, listen, the numbers game is fucking weird. It's really weird. There's no rhyme or reason. I don't know how anybody accurately tracks anything. According to iTunes, our episodes increase by 67,000% every week. That's physically impossible. Even if it did it 3 weeks in a row.
You clearly don't know math.
Well, even if it did it 3 weeks in a row, we would have more listens than like Joe Rogan, Mark Moran. That's
Matt McIntosh.
Matt McIntosh.
Danny
Moff.
Steve Mack.
And Dave Destruction combined.
And Dave Destruction. Matt Machiavelli. Why is that name in my head? What is Matt Machiavelli?
Well, Machiavelli is probably an easy name to stick in your head. I have no idea.
Matt Machiavelli. Know.
Okay, so what do you want to crack first? You want to crack the Impact?
I say we free ball, free form, but now that you mentioned it, I'll go.
That's not free ball.
Listen, I'm already free balling.
Oh, yuck. Brother. On my couch.
Listen, you thought
my
that.
My kid was conceived on that couch.
Is that a fact?
No, I don't think so.
Is that breaking news?
Yes. George Bush is still alive.
Oh, my God. Tony is fake news Barrett tonight.
I'm afraid that's a fucking gimmick.
Well, we've done that before, by the way.
Fake news?
Fake news Barrett. I'm pretty sure we've mentioned that. And I mentioned it 6 times before.
It's too good not to have done
it. In this episode by saying, I'm afraid I got some fake news. You didn't catch that at all?
That might have been just the second time you said it.
Tony, a lot of people think that I need an intervention. But I'm going to tell you right now, something's wrong. Like, I don't remember stuff from, like, a day or two ago. You didn't remember in the last hour and a half that I have said, I've got some fake news.
I don't know if you did.
I did at least 3 times.
If Kevin said I've got some fake news before this segment, please tell me on Facebook.
Prince of Pro.
Listen.
Prince of Pro. My man, Pots and Pants.
I said it. My eyes are going. My memory's going. I'm getting fucking old, and I'm not even that old yet.
Listen, my memory is... Listen, I got the memory of a fucking goldfish, bro. But the short-term memory of a goldfish. It takes me like 5-10 minutes to...
Process?
To process what happened. So like, hey, what'd you do last night? I'm like, give me a second. Let me wait on that. Let me wait. And a second becomes like a minute, 2 minutes. And I'm like, I know what I did.
Have you seen a doctor for that?
Went to the hat.
Yeah, I went to the hat. Yeah, that's what it is. Dr. Hat gave me the prescription.
Listen, you can't. First name Cat in the. You can't. Oof. You can't go wrong. Listen, you wanted the bell.
I know, but I'm starting to get comfortable because we're into hour two. This is like the war zone portion of the Shining Wizards.
This is where Tony, like. Oh my God, I wish Matt was here.
I wish
Matt was here.
This is like the time of the show where Roman Reigns comes out and cuts a nonsensical promo.
Well, listen, we can do the traditional cover everything, which we will. We'll run through everything real quick, and then we could just free ball.
No, we'll cover everything, and then I kind of want to get to the Greatest Royal Rumble.
That's fine.
We'll save
that to
the end, because then we could go as long as we want.
That's the headliner, because there's a lot of intriguing stuff surrounding that entire show.
Yeah, and plus it works into Raw a little bit and stuff.
All right, so Impact had Redemption on Sunday night.
Yes.
And we're not going to dissect the card match per match. We'll go the highlights, because honestly, I didn't watch the show.
I didn't watch it.
And I probably will at some point, because
I probably should have found a place to watch it, but I didn't watch it.
I could have ordered it, but I'm not home on Sunday night, so I'm not gonna pay for it. I have comedy on Sundays. So notes. New Impact champion. You want to talk about the belts first?
The belts, yeah, they issued all new belts. Women's belt, tag belt, X Division, and world champion. Wait a minute. Is there still the grand championship is gone, right?
All right. Semi spoiler alert, but not really a spoiler alert because it's not a change or anything. But they started their new tapings today. Based off what happened last night.
And I thought
Sunday night.
Now, wait a minute. Going into this pay-per-view, Matt Sydal had both belts, didn't he?
Austin Aries had both belts.
Had the Grand Championship and
the World Championship.
Now, who did he beat for the Grand Championship?
No, wait. I'm a liar.
You are.
Seidel.
Fake news.
Ah, it's fake news. All over.
All right. So anyway, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, Austin Aries is no longer your Impact champion. Penta.
Zero M.
Is your new Impact champion.
Which translates from the Spanish to no fear.
Which,
stole,
I'm not going to lie.
Mike Milando's gimmick.
Mike Mondale. Walter Mondale. I love that move.
Well, he's Pentagon Jr., isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think he could use that name because someone else in Mexicali.
Oh, kind of like La Park or LA Park.
Owns it.
La Parka.
So I think, or Lucha Underground may own it for all I know. I don't even know.
Dumb shit.
But I know it was something like that. I'm going to pull up the results for Impact. Because I could have sworn that Austin Aries had both belts, and he's still the grand champion.
I thought Matt Sydal.
You're right, because then he gave it to like Josh Matthews or something like that, right? As a spirit animal or some shit.
Oh yeah, you're
right. Wasn't that right?
I
don't know if Austin Aries ever ended up. Impact's a tough watch too. Not that it's bad, because I think it's amazing, but I watch it not live.
Wow, Wikipedia is becoming my go-to over here.
Yeah, please find that out. Because
Aerostar defeated Drago. I have no idea who that is.
Those are the Lucha guys.
We have new tag team champions.
Yeah, Scott Steiner and Eli Drake.
Scott fucking Steiner.
Dude, he did a top rope Frankensteiner.
I heard. I can only imagine what that was like.
Right.
It was a short match, too. So, Brian Cage beat Desmond Xavier, DJZ, El Hijo de Fantasma, Taiji Ishimori, and Trevor Lee in a six-way.
Yes, and I think Brian Cage is going to be a big star for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Taya Valkyrie beat Kiera Hogan.
Yes,
no
that
relation.
Was a match that was announced.
That was a late. Match. Matt Sydal successfully defended against Petey Williams, the X Division Championship.
Yep.
OVE, Sammy Callahan and the Crisp Brothers defeated Eddie Edwards, Moose, and Tommy Dreamer in a House of Hardcore match. Allie defeated Sue Young to defend her Knockouts championship, and Pentagon Jr., who they
all right, Prince of Pro,
here,
our stat guy, basically,
defeated
Prince of Pro.
Austin Aries in Phoenix.
Austin Aries had both the Grand Championship and the World Championship. So Austin Aries is still the Grand Champion going into the pay-per-view. So they mentioned
that's a little fucking weird, isn't
it? I don't know. Yeah, so Aries had both belts.
I thought they were going to get rid of the Grand Championship.
I think they still might. But who knows?
Yeah, they still have him listed here.
So Austin Aries, at the tapings last night, they mentioned that he was still the grand champion, and that I don't know because he was never under contract with them, and he's still not.
Now Eli Drake still has his world heavyweight briefcase, doesn't he?
Yes,
because he beat Moose for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that was when I tried to do that conference call with them, and like it couldn't wait on hold for more than a half hour.
No, I hear you.
Because I was at work.
Those are pretty interesting. Those are fun to do.
I listened for like a half hour. But the only thing I don't understand is that some people, unless they called from different lines, they got on three times before I got on once.
That's
like
weird.
The same guy got on twice before I was asked, before I joined the conversation.
It could be a situation where they have like somebody on multiple phones.
That could be it.
Because, you know, you have to press one to get into the queue.
Yes.
And then if you like even like drop the phone or something, you might get knocked out of the queue. It's really weird.
It's fucking bizarre. And I also didn't. And I don't know if there's like a time where you can call. Like it starts at 2. You can. Who knows? Maybe you can call at 1 o'clock and get right into the queue first. I don't know.
It's maybe unless you could start doing the queue as soon as you call in too. I don't know.
But I was sitting in my,
it's interesting to do those.
I was at work. I'm like, listen, I got to take a phone call at 2 o'clock. Is this going to be a problem? They're like, no. So I go out. I go into my car and sit. At 2 o'clock, and I'm like, "Fuck! It's fucking 2:30." I mean, like, I can't.
Were they even asking questions at that point?
Nah, I don't care. In the press conference?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, continuous questions.
Fuck.
The same people got on multiple times before I was even once. So I don't know.
I thought somebody got the audio of me talking to Kazarian and Daniels when I did that 1 year ago.
Oh, I don't know.
That was a funny one. They were pretty funny, those two.
No, and I want to do it. I want to, just because there's people, most of them are international.
Yeah.
So.
But I noticed, like, even the one I did, like Angry Marks was on there, like Stevie J does these a lot.
Yeah.
Some of the other ones, like, you recognize, I think.
Oh, Sports Kita.
I want to say Mike Johnson was on that one, but I'm not 100%.
He's usually, like, the first motherfucker they take.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I don't think I heard Meltzer, but they're interesting. They're really cool.
No, they're fun, and they're
And I was nervous because, like, I mean, I'll break the fourth wall. Who gives a shit? They'll send you a list of questions that you should ask, but nobody asked any of those questions.
Of course not.
Except for one or two people. So I'm like, all right, now I'm more comfortable. Now I'm going to ask, like, a real legit question.
I would have loved to have had credentials for the XFL announcement. Because that was fun as shit. When the I listened to that whole thing when I was at work. When they had the press conference with the with Vince and everything.
Right.
That was good shit. I would have loved to have been on that call. That was fun. But we're digressing. Impact Wrestling introduced new belts.
Yes. And Ali also retained the women's championship, the Knockouts championship.
Oh, yeah, against we mentioned Su Young.
And
Wait, no, Su Young is married to
Rich Swann.
That's it.
Who?
He's working.
By happenstance. Probably just because of the marriage. We don't know yet. He hasn't worked yet. They're taping all week. Shout out to KM and Falaba, who are down there for that show, for that tapings.
Yeah.
But he's married to Su Young, so he was down there. He was backstage at the pay-per-view and last night's taping. So who knows? Maybe Rich Swann will be brought in to Impact. Who knows?
I hope so. But I just hope they're shit straight. You know what I'm saying?
It's got to be.
I would hope.
Like... You always like this is like the biggest cliche ever. There's like the truth, like
I know.
There's
I know.
Three truths.
That seems
her
to be
truth,
Matt's
truth,
go-to
truth,
line
what
these
happened.
Days.
So, like you just don't really look. I was listening to Bruce Pritchard's podcast, catching up on some old episodes, and it was Shawn Michaels 93 when he got beat up by the fucking
yes.
And the police report says one thing. Witnesses say kind of. Corroborate it, and Sean said one thing. Everyone's all fucked up, and no one fucking knows what really happened.
True.
So it's kind of like if something that you think is so cut and dry, like isn't, then anything could be nuts. And again, whatever happened. If he did, I don't know.
Here's a dumb aside. When Bruce Pritchard mentioned that place, and he said it used to be a lot of fun to go there in Syracuse, I Google mapped it, and apparently they were selling it. So like they're going to tear it down. And put up condos. So people can actually live on the site where Shawn Michaels got his ass kicked.
Called the Heartbreak Hotels?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I actually posted a picture of the building on Facebook, and I was like, any idea what this place is?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, this was a couple of months ago whenever it aired. And I think Mega Powers started bugging me. I forget what he said. He had a pretty funny answer, but nobody
Mega Powers actually recommended a podcast to me.
Was it the Dumb Fellas?
No. Oh, check out the Dumb Fellas, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, GardenStateComedy.com. No, it was a guy who worked for Nitro and WCW at the time. And you know how everyone like complains about how no one knew anything that was going on
yes.
on show day?
Yeah, yeah.
This guy is saying, no, people knew exactly what their plans were and or some shit like that. I didn't get the whole – that's like kind of like the gist. It's like it's pretty much debunking everything that Eric Bischoff – and everyone that worked for WCW said, because this guy was in production.
Bro, we were booking it on a napkin, bro.
So, Mega, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
He ain't listening.
So this is a text I get from Mega. He was a producer. One of those names you always see in the credits at the end. The show could be very boring as they go in detail on the tech side, but there's a lot of gems there. Also, they have the guy who voiceovered all the WCW commercials do the intro. But it's interesting to hear things about the side of the company that had more of an idea of what they had to do. Since most talent always say no one knew what was going on, apparently some people did.
Yeah.
So, again, it's two sides bullshit. To every fucking story. And then the truth.
It's all bullshit, motherfucker.
Oh, goddamn, Bruce Pritchard.
The belts are really gorgeous. I like them.
They are.
They're really nice. The owl worked into all of them.
Let me ask you this. See, yeah. I didn't even notice the owl.
Oh, yeah, he's on all of them.
I did eventually until I saw when I saw a comment. But let me ask you this. Thoughts about incorporating, like, the Impact colors are obviously the blue, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Incorporating so much of the blue into the belts. Thoughts on that? You don't mind? I don't really mind either.
You know what it is? They're doing what WWE does with the logo, and they're making them look more like belts as opposed to class rings. Get it? They look more like belts.
Okay.
They look like real championships.
Yes, instead of just one giant
yep.
like thing, like the Hall of Fame ring with the WWE on yep. it. With their.
I don't know if you've noticed, but there was a Global Force X Division belt that was in green that mm-hmm. looks exactly like the one that's the Impact one now. It's pretty much the damn same design.
Well, didn't they just put a plate over?
Yeah, but no, not that belt. If you Google search it and you look at you look for these belts, you'll see this belt that they have now for the X Division
was a global
but done in the global with the global logos and stuff.
I remember those. I remember when the global kind of did the same thing. They made everything green, like Ninja Turtle belts. And
yeah.
No disrespect to Jeff Jarrett. Or
I like the
that.
Blue though. I dig these belts.
I think it's a step up from what they had. 100%.
I really dig.
And the only again nitpicking again, just because you and I are belt guys, and I mentioned this when Matt or you posted it on Facebook, is that you can't really see. I don't know if you saw the woman's one. Did you see the knockouts belt?
I'll punch it up. I'm 100% I did.
And see if you can actually see the word knockouts. I know it's there.
Oh, I remember you posted something about this.
But like, it's not emphasized like the tag team championships. You have tag team, and then it says impact, and then champions. Like,
yeah, there's the X Division belt with the little Hootie the Owl up there in the middle.
Hootie hoo!
The tag belts with the owl facing up and down, which is kind of neat. Somebody actually said it gives it like that bit of an Aztec look, which is kind of cool.
No, I have no problem with the owl first because I didn't notice it. So it's not overpowering and it's not.
I can see what you mean, but I mean, it's pretty bold there. The Knockouts logo. Yeah.
It was only one photo, mind you, that I saw.
The one on the right here is kind of blur. It looks kind of shitty, but from the side profile, it looks better.
Again, I totally love the belts. Again, the tag belts, they're kind of like that Ring of Honor TV title plate, that thin, like. Like it's more like vertical than it is horizontal.
I hear
description.
Yeah, no, I got you.
But I love them all.
I still think the fucking the six man tags are dog shit looking.
Wait, what six man tags?
The ones that Ring of Honor has.
Oh yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They are fucking shitsville. Okay. Here you go. I'm gonna turn my laptop and try not to make a big mush out of it. But here, take a look. There's the Global Force Blue X Division belt. It's even got little Hootie the Owl there and everything. See it?
All right.
See, that's the Global Force one, and then Impact slapped their logo on it. Right?
Are you sure that's not the same belt with just... Oh, wow,
no, you're fine. You can hear it. Talking to this.
Are you sure that's not just the same belt?
No, it's not. See how it's got the new design on it?
No. This is different. This is definitely better. Look at the detail in the back is totally different.
I'm going back and forth from two separate pages. That's why it's kind of fucked up. Yeah, you think it's that much different? It's really not. Like, I mean, it looks goofier because it's got like... There's a little more cartoonish of a detail on the X. See, like how here it's more like engraved?
No, I see what you're saying. It's not that different, but I don't see.
I think definitely the new one looks better. It looks better without the Global Force logo. The Global Force logo on that thing is kind of like, eh. It's just the difference that the Impact logo makes because I think it's a better looking logo.
I mean, it's the same. Is it not the same font?
Oh no.
Okay.
No, the Impact.
It's just the same. It's just the same thing with the big plate going across the front. Like not that it's a plate, but I'm saying like the fact that they want to make Impact visible so clearly across the middle.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Right.
You'd want to do that.
But WWF never did that until.
No, but gone are the days where the little logos on
was
the
on
top,
the top of the eagle. Yeah.
The only ones you really see that on. Well, I mean the tag
the
belts.
The tag
have
belts
them.
Have like fucking
and the secondary belts. Oh,
the U.S. belt.
Also, yeah, that's what I meant. U.S. and the Intercontinental.
I see, and the cruiserweight and all that nonsense.
Well, no, cruiserweight's got the W in the middle.
Oh, it does. You're right. Correct.
Yep. Old school cruiserweight didn't. The new one does.
Yes.
Speaking of belts, before we get onto Raw or whatever, story that I heard: women's tag team titles have been commissioned, and they should be debuting by SummerSlam.
I did not see that.
I saw that was a little blurb on. I think 401 Mania had it.
All right, well,
they're building tag teams. But let me ask you this.
Well, all right, go ahead, because I have a problem with that statement.
Let me jump ahead. The Riot Squad, what the fuck is that? They're supposed to be badasses. On Raw, they talked about how they beat up Alexa, and they said that Natty and Mickey...
Ronda Rousey?
No, they beat up... Who did they beat up? They beat up Bailey
last night?
No, last week. And then they were like, "Oh, and if Mickey and Alexa want some, we're going to get them too." But dude, they sounded like whiny little like they didn't sound like they were like badasses like they were supposed to be. Listen, the promo was awful.
That's going to happen sometimes.
It was bad, dude.
I mean, I watched all of Raw last night, but I
watched most of it. I got like 2 hours through, and I was like,
but I don't necessarily remember their promo last night.
It was earlier.
It was backstage, right?
Yeah, it was curly hair. No, Renee, what's her face?
Yeah, Renee did it. Yeah, I thought it was fine. And listen, you're not going to hit a home run every time.
It didn't have to be a home run. It just felt like they were like whiffing. You know, it was like,
I'm a big fan of every single one in that group. It's weird that
even Shaved Head Schnoz.
Ruby, she's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, Ruby Riott. She's my favorite.
She looks
out of the
like
three.
Beaky Buzzard.
She's my favorite. Wasn't that a drop of ours?
That was when we used to when Tara used to call from the Impact.
You don't have that still?
Matt has it on his computer. Yeah, that's not here. That's at the pizzeria somewhere.
I think she has. She clearly has because she. I think A. She has the most experience, and B. I think she can easily fit in the top tier in the women's division.
Not with that schnoz of hers.
No, I think she will.
Oh boy!
Listen, like you always say, but what do you say about Bailey?
She looks like a foot.
She looks like a foot. I think she's fucking smoking.
Hey, look! I had this conversation with people on Facebook. I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
But I might have to turn it over.
But and Ruby is.
You don't like my line. Come
I,
on.
I jumped the gun, which I apologize. So now
all right,
I am
tit for tat. We're
I even. Am reacting post posthumously
because you're. You're too busy. Was, you're defending Bailey. I get it.
That was good. No, that was good. It was good.
Wait. I gotta write that down. I wouldn't turn her down, but I might turn her over.
Oh, God, her ass is amazing.
Her titties too, man. She got some fucking udders.
But anyway, I'm not even talking about Ruby Riott's looks. I think she's hot, but
I'm sure
I think
fine.
She has the potential to be in the same league as Sasha and Bailey and Becky and Charlotte and Asuka and Alexa. So if there's going to be the next star, which you're going to have, I think it'd be her.
Fair enough. And then her friends go off and win the tag belts.
And Sarah Logan's no throwaway either.
Wait, you said you had a point? You had something you wanted to bring up when I brought up the tag belts?
Oh, about how you think that they're bringing tag team wrestling back. Was that just specifically for the women? Because
I think
they're butchering the tag team divisions on both shows.
Well, you know, because, you know, women's equality and whatnot. Now, are they going to bring back two sets of tag belts?
That was another question.
How many fucking belts are they going to have, dude?
Listen,
it's too much. It's too much.
But here's the deal, though.
Here's the deal.
Let me tell you something about tag team wrestling that you might just not know.
So here's what's fucked up.
Posthumously, of course.
I wish I knew how to say that fucking word.
That's right. Listen, I can't say Poughkeepsie. Wait, I just did.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
E for effort.
Oh.
If we go to WrestleMania 35.
And there's 12 title matches.
And that's all there is.
All right. I didn't think about that.
You know?
And especially now because all the pay-per-views are going to be.
You're going to have four tag team title matches on the pre-show.
That's
It's
the pre-show.
Oh, jeez.
All right. See, okay. I'm thinking about it just as a show-to-show point where, like, you're watching Raw. That's one thing. Those are their belts. You're watching SmackDown. They're their belts. And then, of course, then you have the pay-per-views.
Every pay-per-view is bio-denominational.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Biodegradable?
Jitties! I didn't play that for the open out of respect.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
But it's all cyclical, man. It happened before, like twice. Titles get deleted and brought back.
Delete. I love that team, bro.
So do I.
But love that team.
Here's my thing about, and that getting back to my point about tag team wrestling, is that I loved when they decided to bring back tag belts, and you actually have teams that are tag teams, and it's not like The Miz and The Big Show.
Oh, so
or
you think
Chris Jericho and The Big Show, or Stone Cold and
the big
Shawn
show.
Michaels.
Kane
or,
and The Big Show.
Undertaker
and Big Show.
Yeah, take your pick. Fucking Mark Henry and The Big Show.
Probably a fucking 12-time tag champ.
And you actually had, like, teams that would push, like, American Alpha, and even at one point, although very brief, The Ascension.
Wait, American Alpha was Jason Jordan?
And Chad Gable.
I'm so glad. Did you see Chad's face when he told him, "Don't worry, you're not teaming up with my kid"?
I thought they brought him back to team up with him.
No, I'm so glad.
I thought they realized that the Jason Jordan thing was shit.
Dude, it went Jinder Mahal?
Yeah,
to call him Mikey or whatever his name was. Yeah, Mike. Well, what was the kid's name? Michael? Nicholas.
Nicholas.
He goes, you're going to the gym?
You called him Nicholas?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And then he called a mini-me. He goes, didn't you just die? How are you here?
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes. Jinder had the personality yesterday. It was pretty awesome.
That's not bad. And then did he squash? He squashed Chad Gable? Chad Gable won, right?
Chad Gable won.
Yeah, that's right. It's all coming back.
It was. There was some interesting stuff on Raw.
No, there was. But the thing is that bothers me is that, like...
Ascension jobbed, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, there you go.
Big surprise.
Well, to Bray and Matt, which, again, is two guys paired together. But
who
I enjoy it.
Who are probably going to win the tag belts.
Which I... It's just fine with me because at least they have a common, like... objective. And when Sheamus and Cesaro started teaming together, I'm like, why the fuck? Like, but then
they're
made
an amazing team.
Then they made it a tag team. They started out as two single guys and made a tag team.
Cesaro is dare I say, he could be the Bobby Eaton of this generation. You put him in any tag team, dude, it's
Tyson,
fucking
him and Tyson
money.
Kidd,
him and Chris Hero, him and Sheamus.
Yep. Which, again, I'm fine with them now because they have a name.
I love that
team. They have gear, matching gear.
We are the bar.
Yeah, I still do hate the NWO point, though.
No, I love that shit.
I hate that.
I love that shit.
It was too much.
When they do that pose when they're coming out and they're spinning around.
It was an extra step that they didn't need to do. Like, all you had to do was do the come. All Cesaro had to do was come around and put the bar up. Because that's what they are. This thing is goofy.
No, I like it.
Because they're wearing the kilts and everything.
I like it. I like it. I like everything about it.
Listen, I love them as a team. Love them. I think they finally, not finally, they have for a while.
I didn't see Strowman and Lashley against the Miztourage. Was that worth any time?
That was the second match to the main event, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was that was about when I gave up.
Well, so did everyone else, because the ratings went down. Because
I kind of watched the main event a little bit. I saw Rousey come out and fuck up, what's her name?
Yeah.
Mickie James?
Yes.
Yeah, but other than that, I couldn't give two shits about the fucking... I felt like Saudi Arabia when that main event came on.
Ooh,
don't care about the women.
Is that a transition?
That, you know what, dude? Look, say what you want. That's fucked up that they're going there. It really is. All the fucking women's revolution and, you know, main eventing Raw and blah, blah, blah.
I just love the whole glass is half empty approach.
What, from them? Like, oh, it's a break.
No, well, their approach is the glass is half full. Like, this is going to start something.
Yeah, really? World Wrestling Entertainment is going to start something.
Well, they did. Where were Sasha Banks and fucking Alexa Bliss performed? The first time ever women wrestled in I think it was. Was it
Abu Dhabi? Abu Dhabi Dibi?
I forget where it was.
Doesn't matter. It's just fucked up, dude. It really is.
Listen, you can't.
Yeah, but women are property in Saudi Arabia, dude. Women can't do shit without permission.
I don't know the whole
government
of. I don't know what they do and how
they
are treated.
Awful. It's pretty awful.
Is it as bad as like fucking like ISIS and like.
I'm sure it's on that level.
Like trapped and you, hey, listen here, I'm gonna rape you now. Come over here.
Pretty much.
That's what it is in Saudi Arabia?
They're property. It's really rough over there.
Are they like, are they beaten and raped savagely?
I don't know about the rape part, but there was a story about a woman who was like a talk show host. I don't know how that fucking happened in Saudi Arabia. But she answered the phone in her house and her husband got pissed off and told her she wasn't allowed to answer the phone and beat the shit out of her. And there were pictures of her in the press all beat up. And they were like, eh, that's fucked up, dude.
No, of course it's fucked up. Again, I
get it. It's money.
That's not even where I was going. But that's what it is at the end of the day.
I just feel really weird about it. The more I was reading today, the more it was bugging the shit out of me.
But I don't know enough about their values and their belief system and their culture to make an obvious stand about it. If it's different than ours, then they are treated like, for lack of a better word, or term, second-class citizens, or if they are just repressed a little bit more, or if they're just repressed. Like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know.
I'm
being very careful not to bite my tongue and say something.
Women
that's
literally just got permission to drive there, like within the past
all right,
years.
So there you go. That's a step forward.
Yes, thanks to World Wrestling Entertainment.
That's right.
The women's revolution.
So maybe like listen, maybe this is something that. So that means if they just got something, if they just advanced, and to them that's a big deal, maybe there's more coming.
It's still rough, dude. It's still rough. It's like, I don't want to compare it to the Holocaust because...
Oh, my God.
No, but it's like, oh, Hitler invited, or even better, Kim Jong-un. We know how awful he is to the people of North Korea.
Dennis Rodman brokered that deal, by the way.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman almost lost his shit when he came home, too, because he was fucking panicking. He's like, it's awful over there. Read up on his fucking
Listen, yeah, that's
tales.
What I'm saying. I'm too dumb to
But what I'm saying is, like, imagine Kim Jong-un calls him up and says, hey, we want you guys to bring the wrestling show here. That's kind of fucked up, knowing what they do.
I don't think they would.
What if they said, we're offering you $1 billion?
I don't think they
would. You know what I'm saying? That's rough, dude. It's rough. I don't want to make it so fucking political, but it's rough, dude. It's a big fucking problem.
But
anyway, we could cover the show.
What? The greatest Royal Rumble.
That's why we're here.
That's right. So, I'm excited, man. Are you gonna be able to watch it live at 12 noon?
I'm gonna try. I'm really gonna try.
I'm gonna have to tell my sergeant and lieutenant. Be like, listen.
Let me start with this.
I work 5 hours a day. I'm gonna take 3.5 off.
There's other stuff we can blow through just by fact that we talked a little bit about him already. But I have no idea. Maybe you know and you can enlighten me. The off again, on again, off again casket match. Do we have any backstory as to what happened and why Rusev is in that match again?
Maybe Jericho just didn't want to do it.
I don't know. But why did they take Rusev out to begin with?
I don't know.
And on top of that, did you hear somebody fucking made fun of him on Raw? They said that his wife gave him permission to be in the casket match again. I forget who got that dig on him, but it was a fucking good one. Somebody said it on Raw.
On Raw?
Yeah, and I was like, ooh.
Rusev isn't even on. Was it this past?
It was yesterday.
Nah.
Somebody zinged him real good. Oh, because they were talking about the pay-per-view. Maybe it was Heyman? Somebody zinged him, and I was like, wow.
I watched the entire fucking show with sound.
Trust me. I know I'm going crazy, but that I remember. George Bush is still alive, hopefully. All right, so no idea. It's just that now it's Rusev again. What do you think, Rusev or Undertaker? I think Undertaker has to win.
I think he's got a shot.
Undertaker's not so good in the casket matches, but
I think Undertaker's got a shot.
I would think he has to. After the domination over Cena.
Are you completely being serious right now?
What?
That you're actually wondering who's going to win that match?
I'm asking you because I want to do predictions.
Rusev's in the match to lose to Taker, dude.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Maybe yeah. It's Rusev Day in Saudi Arabia.
No, it's not. They don't listen. They don't celebrate women. They don't celebrate Rusev Day.
Okay, Mr. Wise Ass. Who's going to win, John Cena or Triple H?
Cena.
You think?
Yes.
Cena's been on a downward spiral. And we are talking about mighty Triple H who never loses.
We're talking about Saudi Arabia where John Cena is probably super mega over.
Yeah, but he just broke up with Nicky Knocker.
And they hate women, so they'll be right on board.
Exactly. That was my logic.
Okay, all right.
Are you serious, bro?
You serious, bro?
All right, Cedric Alexander is supposed to be defending the Cruiserweight Championship against TBD.
That would be the winner of the Gauntlet match tomorrow night on 205 Live.
There you go. So we don't know that one yet. But if you had to wager a guess,
who would it be?
Think Cedric Alexander's got to hold the belt for a little while.
Well, yeah, I would guess it's either going to be Gulak or Mustafa Ali again. I might even say Mustafa Ali. If he's in it, and Cedric retains.
Well, there you go.
We're treating this like a real pay-per-view.
Bludgeon Brothers, my favorite tag team on SmackDown.
Fucking gross.
I love them, man.
I love them as talents. I hate
they come out with the big fucking hammers
shit.
And shit.
Fucking things. Fucking those kids.
Well, they're defending against the Mexican Chefs, multi-time champions, the Usos.
The Mexicans.
Yes, linger longer. That was Matt's line from fucking long time ago, which he made about the Royal Rumble, I might add, on the Royal Rumble episode. What do you think? Bludgeon's got to retain?
I don't know. This show's weird to me.
It's very weird.
Because it's like a publicized, like, not house show. Like, it's in, like...
It's a bought show is what it is.
It's a fucking stadium show, bro. It's like...
This is WrestleMania Part 2. We were talking about WrestleMania over 2 days.
I mean, some titles are going to have to change. I just don't know which ones.
I don't think Bludgeon Brothers are losing.
I think they could lose and then win them back at Backlash.
Oh, flip-flops.
Because Backlash is, what, Sunday? The week after?
Oh, okay. I thought you meant this Sunday.
Backlash is the next week.
I'm saying Bludgeon Brothers. I mean,
I'll say Usos. Fuck it.
All right. We talked about this. I feel like
this is going to be a babyface heavy.
The Bar going for the vacant tag team titles over on Raw against, what are they calling them? The deleters
of Worlds?
They should have called them the Broken Buzzards or the Woken Buzzards.
That's awful.
Yeah, deleters of Worlds. There you go.
That's awful. The broken buzzards. Whatever. You're on a buzzard, like beaky buzzard. Yeah, fucking. That's their new theme song.
Yes.
Imagine the lights out go out, and all of a sudden it's here.
Kevin does impressions, folks. Catch him Sunday at Tierney's.
That's right, every Sunday.
There you go.
I'm actually supposed to be at Tierney's the Sunday of the pay-per-view, but I think I actually got comp tickets, so I think I might be going.
Tierney's was in the recent edition of New Jersey Magazine. Probably. Dives for the best foods in New Jersey.
Yeah, they got really good food.
That's what I read.
Go and ask for there's something that's not on the menu. It's called the Buddy Burger. Ask for that. Tell them, you know.
Does that come with butt sex?
No.
Oh, sucks.
No. It's not that there is an upstairs, but you don't go there.
Oh, boo. Speaking of boo.
No, I should have said there was a back door, but you don't go there.
Jeff Harvey defends the United States title against Jinder Mahal.
This one I'll actually go Jinder on.
You think he's going to win the title?
I don't know. Oh, actually, no, he can't. He's on Raw, so no.
Well, let's go tandem. Seth Rollins defends the IC belt in a ladder match against Finn, Joe, and The Miz. Joe's on SmackDown now, isn't he?
Oh, so you could do the flippity-do?
Thinking. It's completely possible.
Yeah, but you still got... You need the Intercontinental title on Raw, I think. Because they made that belt. I do, because...
You have the WWE Championship on SmackDown.
Yes, but you don't have Brock every week. So to have the Intercontinental... They've done such a fucking great job building that Intercontinental Championship up.
Yeah, it's true.
Up.
It'd be a shame to fucking...
So you
got to
keep it there.
So you're thinking Jeff Hardy retains?
I guess. And then, again, you have...
It would have to. Otherwise, what would be the point of him winning it in the first place?
They got the fucking... Like I said, the failsafe of a pay-per-view the next week.
Yeah, this is true.
So anything that they don't do...
They could very well have titles on, like, the other brand for a couple of weeks.
For a day, and then change it over. Because Samoa Joe is on SmackDown. He's still fighting Roman Reigns at Backlash.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Oh, God, Roman Reigns wins the IC belt. Ugh.
Or he could win... Or he could... Well, we haven't gotten to that match yet.
We could have a title-for-title match.
He could be the WWE champion.
We're getting there. Shinsuke Nakamura challenging AJ Styles in their rematch for the WWE Championship.
Do you have the phones open by any chance or not?
No.
I wonder if Shinsuke Nakamura call in.
He fucking broke. He blew the gimmick. What a dick. He blew the gimmick. I was listening. He was laughing so hard to himself. He's like, I can't. He just fucking
lost it. He was laughing because I was laughing so hard.
I know, it was fucking good. What did he say? Resbian haircut?
Resbian haircut.
I'm thinking AJ Styles has to win this. I don't think Nakamura is going to win.
Agreed.
Brock Lesnar defends the Universal Championship against
Roman Reigns. See, this is the one.
This is what should have happened at WrestleMania. See what happens if you're a Saudi king and you have fucking tons of money you don't know what to do with? You can buy a title match. You can. You can buy the WrestleMania main event. You can affect booking, Kevin.
Ooh,
that's a big word. Not effect, affect.
Affect.
Yes. Not like your, and your, or two, two, and two, or whatever.
I'm going to go. I'm actually going to say that Roman Reigns wins it.
He has to. I don't think there's any doubt.
I'm piggybacking off what you said, I think, a couple weeks ago, where like you think they're specifically booking. They booked WrestleMania to get to this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm kind of thinking that might not be too crazy.
They shit on us so the millionaires overseas can get a great show. And last but not least, the 50-man Royal Rumble match, which as far as I read, I think, I have a list of people who have already been announced. Do you want me to burn through it real quick?
Yeah, we got time.
Daniel Bryan, who was the first announced. And we got Big Show, Braun Strowman, Kurt Angle, Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil.
Oh, did you notice they brought the Crews back in his name? He was just going by Apollo for a little bit. Now he's Apollo Crews again.
To take a little morbidity aside here, when they were standing for the 10-bell salute, Titus O'Neil was behind Vince McMahon, and all I was waiting for him to start grabbing
him.
His shit. Oh, I guess he learned his lesson. Titus O'Neil, Elias, Goldust, Mojo Rawley, Dolph, Baron Corbin, Chad Gable, Big E, Kofi, Xavier Woods, Shelton Benjamin, Sin Cara, Chris Jericho, and recently Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. That's all that's been announced so far.
I don't know.
You know who else is announced that's not on the list? Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon was announced for the match.
Is he in the match, or is it just his photo just pictured in the logo?
No, he was. I believe he was officially announced yesterday. See, I thought he was on this list earlier when I read it, but now he's not.
Huh.
Oh, well. He was on the list.
Listen, there's fucking 50 motherfuckers, so there's going to be people.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Gross.
But there's one person that is not going to be there.
Who do you? Who? Oh, Zack Ryder. Yeah, I know. Woo woo ow.
That sucks, man.
It does. It happens.
Hopefully it's not too serious.
It's a shame because Mojo and him were going to be together on Raw, so you never
and
know.
Who else?
Burt Balkins.
That's right.
There was one point that I heard about this greatest Royal Rumble.
Belated birthday to my best friend, Kurt Hawkins.
There you go. Happy birthday, Kurt. By the way, since you brought up Kurt Hawkins, have you seen the Jewosaurus lately?
Fucking Jack,
he's
bro.
He's fucking buff, dude. I got to get on that Silva system.
That Silva system works, bro.
I'm
shout
on the
out.
Fucking Bowman system.
Ah, just busting.
They said
Who's there?
Two say. Men are going to start the greatest Royal Rumble. And
then it's just going to be a battle royal.
No.
We're all going to come out at the same time.
Competitors will enter at regularly timed intervals, i.e., it ain't going to be 2 minutes.
No, it shouldn't be fucking 2 minutes.
How? All right.
You out of your fucking mind?
You want to take bets on how long it's going to be?
It's
going
to be a minute.
I say it might be 45 seconds. I might even go 30 seconds.
What is this, a Russell Pro show? <It'd> be-
No, 30 is going to be too fast, but a minute's probably going to be right. But that pisses me off.
Why?
Regularly,
it's 50 guys.
Regularly timed.
Card subject to change, Tony.
You can't. It's not even a pay-per-view, dude. It's a fucking network special. You can't.
Listen, WrestleMania is already 7 hours.
Make it 2 minutes, dude. All the surprises. I mean,
I'm going to do me a favor.
Figure it out.
No. Go back.
It's 98 minutes.
Go back and watch the 40-man Royal Rumble.
How long were the time things?
Figure it out yourself. Regardless, go back and watch that Royal Rumble and tell me that it didn't drag.
Oh, they all drag, dude.
No, I've watched the 2018 Royal Rumble probably 4 times already this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I liked it that much.
Listen, and this is a little nitpick before we start pulling the train at the station because it's almost about that time, but I am so sick of people leaving the ring, falling down at ringside, disappearing for 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Me and Matt have gone over that at length. It's weird. It's never been done before.
No, it hasn't been.
Not to this extent.
And dude, if you want to have the guys stay in the ring, let them fight in the ring. If you want to have them cleared out, let them get eliminated. There's no reason for that bullshit anymore.
Because none of those guys, for the most part, that are cleared out for lack of a better term, rest, are going to win the match anyway,
no,
so what's the fucking point?
Fucking waste of time. I hated it when they made Vince and Austin disappear for that fucking stretch in 99.
I didn't hate that only because that was like the hottest story that you had
going. I get it, but it sucked a dick, dude. I think consensus-wise, that was the worst Royal Rumble in history. A lot of people agree. Even worse than the fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan 20-man free on fucking USA Network one. Got better reviews than that fucking piece of shit.
99 Rumble wasn't bad, dude.
Was that the Rumble?
What?
That was the one with Austin and
yeah.
It was.
I enjoyed it.
They come back. They're 1 and 2. They're the last guys. Ugh. It was overbooked nonsense that didn't make sense.
I heard a rumor that they're not doing WrestleCon in East Rutherford or Secaucus or wherever it
Why?
Was. I heard that they're doing it, and I don't know. I didn't hear from any credible source or anything like that. Uh-oh. No offense, Chino. But he said that they're doing it at Times Square.
Where would they do it?
I don't know.
What facility? Are they going to do it at the Paramount? The old fucking... because the Paramount Theater is the only thing I could think of that's right there. That's the Hard Rock Cafe. It used to be WWE New York. But there's other little
theaters.
Is that
big enough? You remember how fucking huge WrestleCon was that year in 2013 or in 2014?
Yeah, where else were they? Maybe the Javits Center?
Is that Times Square?
No, it's not Times Square, though. Because where the fuck would they have it?
I don't know.
Like, in the middle of Times Square outdoors in the dead of,
Again,
in the spring?
I didn't read it from anywhere.
We're gonna have to try to figure that one out. That seems
fucking
weird.
No offense to Superfan Chino, but I did not read it anywhere, but that's what I heard, and I'm like, dude, there's no way you can do this in Times Square. But
all right, I have to check one last thing before we call it a night and before we get to some Kevin plugs.
This was a fun show, bro.
This was fun, and I just want to let people know President George H.W. Bush still alive at this time.
There you go. Breaking
news. I still feel like a shitheel. Ah, okay, Snopes has it here. Death hoax. Okay, there you go. False. I can't believe I still want to know the fucking cocksucker that promoted that shit. That pisses me off.
What, fake news?
Falling for that shit.
Death hoaxes?
Falling for, yeah, dude.
I don't be mad that you fell for it.
No, but I'm fucking saying it on here like I was some fucking big shot. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Anyway, so you got plugs, Kevin?
I mean, just the newest family member to join the Shining Wizards Network is the Dumb Fellas podcast. It's five comedians just talking about stories from the road, stories from shows, bombing stories, stupid shit. We're going to have a few fun segments, like a drink with Grifo. And
copyright infringement.
No, not a drink with Grifo, but Grifo, sir. It's some weird thing where I make a drink at the bar and serve it to people, to serve it to the guys, and they drink it and tell you what they think. It's fun. We're going to make fun of it. Porn versus pro. It's going to be a lot of fun. The first episode is on the Shining Wizards Network. It's also on GardenStateComedy.com. It's just a 20-minute intro of who we are and what we're about.
Still pretty funny.
You listen to it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a taste of what you're going to get. But yeah.
And it's our first show. We're just into it. It's going to be a growing process. We hope you enjoy it. Comedy-wise, in terms of live shows, nothing on the table right now that's worth promoting. We still have a few weeks out. After a super busy weekend and week, 14 days, I don't have anything coming up this weekend, so I'm just gonna drink myself stupid.
As usual.
That's right.
This has been fun, brother.
Always is.
I fucking enjoy our two-man group shows.
That's right.
And, I think we covered a lot tonight.
An hour of Bruno and then some stuff.
Well, it was an hour of Bruno peppered with a lot of other shit that
That's
we were
true.
Talking about.
That's true.
We threw a little Bob Backlund in there, history of WWF
did.
Title.
We did.
You know, so we had some good shit. We tried to figure out the difference between Stan Hansen and Stan Stasiak.
Yeah.
Reporting that fucking presidents are dead when they're not.
That's what we should call this episode.
What, the dead presidents?
Dead presidents. No,
could work.
That's not even good.
No, you tried.
We'll figure it out.
You'll hear more of that if you listen to the Dumb Fellas.
That's right.
New episode drops Thursday. Make sure you check it out. We have to say goodbye to Dave Sturgio.
Yeah, man.
Destruction 101. He's wrapping it up. 50 episodes. That's a pretty good run.
It's not a bad run at all.
No, he's moving on to bigger things. I don't know if they're necessarily
better. I don't even
better.
Know what they are.
Can't fucking beat what you got here on the Shining Wizards Network.
That's true.
That's what I always say.
Nah, but whatever, man. He's a good guy, so good luck to him.
Yeah, best of luck, brother.
And I'll see him at around the campus. Yeah,
so we had 10 shows on the network for about a week again, and now we're back to 9.
That's fine.
All right, it is what it is. Any last words?
Yeah, last words.
Stay tuned. The rant is coming up on the rant, and we will send you out with one of my all-time favorite songs.
You underneath, and we talk.
Oh, fuck. That's the wrong button.
Mm.
We'll send him out.
What the hell was that?
With one of my favorite songs.
Play that again. What was that, Charlie?
No, that was the Bruno interview.
You underneath, and we talked about this.
That's the Bruno interview.
You underneath.
You underneath. Everybody get underneath. Bruno Sammartino. See ya.
Bye.
This song right here, this is for everyone who knows what it feels like to be an underdog. Stop a man.